When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Listen, let me tell you something that I know about skin, because I stay glowing year-round, buddy, 24/7. So, the winter, it's coming, like Game of Thrones. So you got to prepare, because the winter can be treacherous on your skin. That's why you need Way. That's spelled O-U-A-I. They have the Way Melrose Place Body Creme to keep you hydrated, prevent dryness. They have the Melrose Place Body Cleanser, which balances your skin, softens it with oils in a hydrating blend. Experience the new Way Melrose Place Body Cream and Body Cleanser. Trust me, it's worth it. Your body, your way. Go to theway.com. That's theouA.com. Use the code BLEAVE, B-L-E-A-V. Get yourself 15% off your entire purchase. That's 15% off your entire order at theouAi.com. Use the code BLEAVE. You know what month it is? It's March. And you know what that means. It's my birthday month, of course. Yes, that's the most important, but also March Madness. Head over to Bet Online and make sure that everything in the world of sports and sports betting is taken care of. Bet Online is the best in the game. They have everything you need: hockey, boxing, UFC odds, sports, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games. Bet Online is your number one online wagering destination. Okay? Head over to the website, use your mobile device, sign up today, receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code BLEAV to get started. Bet Online, where the game starts. Thank you so much, Bet Online, for making sure this podcast happens.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, everyone. It is the Mikey Likes You podcast, a special bonus pod, because I'm joined by my wife, Bianca Kylik, actor, mother, lover of all things. She is joining me because last episode I talked pretty heavily about the overwhelming, like, aggressive misconceptions that women are fed when it comes to nutrition and training. And I figured that there was probably a lot of women out there who were listening to it, and it kind of wore a little bit on them to have some mansplain stuff. So why not bring on a female to actually give it to you from her mouth and her brain and her experience? So my wife is joining me. She's an actor and has had a long career. And I mention that because, look, her body and her appearance is part of her livelihood. And she has, for a long time, pardon me, two decades, has been engaging in fitness and, you know, eating to look a certain way and taking good care of herself. And she, too, bought into a lot of the things that women either believe automatically or are forced to believe by a lot of the farcical and dishonest stuff that is put into the fitness media. Very recently, I would say in the last year or so, she threw caution to the wind and started really engaging in a lot of real progressive overload with complex resistance training, barbell movements and heavy machine use and dumbbell movements, real just old school barbell kind of, you know, what would be looked at as bodybuilding training and strength training, which was, I think, contrary to a lot of what she initially believed. She also has been upping her red meat intake, protein intake, and eschewing a lot of the old narrative of like, you got to eat a lot of vegetables and plant-based
salad.
Stuff, a lot of salad,
yeah,
and these kind of typically looked at as fitness foods. And I can say this with 100% certainty from a completely objective standpoint that she has never looked and felt better. So that is kind of the basis for me bringing her on. And if you could just at the beginning kind of maybe give a little bit more detail to the stuff I was talking about, to the way you used to train, the way not only used to train, but the way you used to like dig your heels in about the things you used to do when it came to eating and training.
Right. Well, I have lifted weights since before I met you.
Sure.
But they were always in the context of lightweight, high rep, sometimes even just like body weight, you know, Tracy Anderson method, if anyone's familiar with that, or things that, where the selling point was that it was going to elongate you and lean you out, Pilates, yoga, a lot of that kind of stuff. And then like insane amounts of cardio.
Right.
And I hated cardio.
Mm-hmm.
Like with a fiery passion. And so on the one hand, I was spending a lot of time doing things I didn't love that I had to just, you know, drag myself to do and didn't do them consistently. And when I did, I was not very happy about it. And then eating wise was always hungry and ate, you know, the typical, like when I was dieting, like when I was feeling like I needed to lean out or get in better shape for a role or whatever it may be, pretty much consisted of one of two things. I'd usually start with a fast. So I do like a, like a liquid, you know, 7-day detox.
It's bullshit.
Feel great for the first 3 or 4 days. Cause like, I probably stopped.
Because you were not eating Grubhub.
Sugar, yeah. Or whatever. Grubhub. and then I just had like a whole internal joke that went on in my own head right there. Anyway,
do you want to share? Or?
No, because it wasn't even really that funny, but I entertained myself.
That's the difference between you and me. I recognize it's probably not even that funny, but I have to say it anyway.
Yes, it's true. And then I would eat diet food. You know, I would do lots of salads with protein in them, but predominantly veggies. And I felt hungry all the time and I didn't enjoy that, but I told myself it was for the better good because I was getting in shape. And granted, you know, at that time I was probably in my 20s and 30s, so it was easier, or so I told myself, you know, that as I got older, it got harder because of aging, which I now know is a complete and utter lie.
Well, it's not a complete and utter lie. I mean, in the sense that it's hard. Well, no, it's not. It's genuinely harder to lose weight, regardless of if good or bad.
I, from a personal life lived experience standpoint, tell you that that's BS, because I think when you are doing the right things, it is not. This feels 1,000 times easier. And I think that as with most everything, it is a mindset and it is what you tell yourself. And so I disagree.
It's a gigantic part of it that I don't think anyone, whether it be a by the books kind of just binary scientist or someone who's trying to just go with the flow and feel it from their own experience, your outlook on it, your mind frame is a huge, huge component. But it's also, I think, a bit dishonest to say, like, in your personal experience, I believe it is easier now for you. You know, it's been easier even at age, you'll be 45 in a couple weeks.
No, next week.
That's right. I believe that. What I am saying, though, is that I do think it's dishonest to just try to create the narrative that there isn't a hormonal change as you age. There isn't a metabolic change. There is. But I think it's very important for you to state that if you're making consistently making different decisions, it doesn't necessarily feel as if it's
becoming. But I think that that is also dishonest to argue with you to say in that direction, because I truly believe and am believing more and more every single day that everything is subject to the mental narrative we tell ourselves. And I think that if you tell yourself getting older makes things harder, it's going to be. And if you tell yourself that age is just a number and that the changes in your body really have very little to do with the power of your subconscious and your ability to change things through mental thought alone.
As opposed to non-mental thought?
I'm tired. We ate so much bad shit for your birthday yesterday.
Yes.
And I feel mentally sluggish today.
I hear you.
I just think that it can be, and I'm not saying that this part is easy, because I think we are all, brainwashed, I guess, in a sense, but I think we are all prey to the conditioning that we receive from the beginning of life.
Uh-huh.
And that I know that that's difficult to change the way that you've always thought or believed about things, but it can be done. And when you start to change those things that you thought were difficult are no longer difficult.
Yes. Yes. And you've made a very important point, and I'm glad you brought it up. Neither you or I, or anyone who's going to be, like I said, maybe intellectually honest about it, can sit here and say, like, well, it's really easy to change your mind and your just eschew all these things that you believed either for your entire life or for a long period of time. It's really, really hard. It takes it takes courage to kind of do
that. And I think it's important for people to understand why it's hard. I know we're getting a little bit off topic here, but I think that this is...
I don't think we are.
I think it's an important component to what we're talking about, which is that there's two parts of your mind, right? There's your subconscious mind and your conscious mind. And your conscious mind is the daily things that you choose to think, and it's who you are. It's the you that's talking and thinking inside your head. Your subconscious mind is essentially a tape recorder, and it just replays everything that has ever happened to you. So all your past experiences, anything anyone ever said that really stuck in, the way your parents thought about things, the way that the people around you as you were a child thought about things, you took those on, and your subconscious mind just replays those over and over and over again. And you can wake up and you can have all the desire in the world to make it a great day and think all the good things you want to think. And then as you go into your day, your subconscious mind takes over, and 90% of what you are thinking is the subconscious loop on repeat.
Mm.
So it really, what it requires is presence. And is, you know, all that, like, be here now and the power of now and all that stuff. But it's true, because you've got to stay present with what's going on up here and watching what you're saying to yourself, because most of it is subconscious, so that it's just on repeat and we don't even hear it anymore because it's been going on for so long. And so the hard part, what you're talking about, what is really the brave and the bravery and the courage, is that you have to bring attention, and that takes work, because you're so used to going on autopilot on a daily basis. You're driving your car, you go on autopilot. You don't even realize that you've driven a large swath of your drive. The word swath.
Swath.
But you got to bring it back. You got to practice bringing your attention back. What am I thinking about? What's going through my head? And that can be exhausting at first, because we don't do that. That's not the way that we live our lives for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, it's presence, you know.
It is presence.
And like, really, moment to moment, it's very hard. It's fatiguing.
It is challenging, but it's doable. And the thing is that at first, what's going to happen is you're going to find this dance between I'm present, I'm not present, I'm present, I'm not present. But the more you bring awareness to what you're thinking about and what's actually going on in your head, I'm going to tell you the shocking thing is that you start to realize how much negative, shitty stuff is going on in there. And you'll go like, oh, no wonder I can't achieve or go after any of the things that I want to, because I'm constantly telling myself how worthless and incapable I am. Mm-hmm. And they're all lies.
Yeah.
It's all lies.
Yeah. And, all of that is, really well said. Really good stuff.
Thanks.
No, seriously. Like, so it's a really well said and it's good stuff. And you kind of laid the groundwork for where you were at. And then maybe some of the, and you were never like bitchy about it, but there was that initial resistance because you had these foundational ideas.
Okay, because...
Wait, hold on. Okay. But you were initially resistant to me when I would say like, you know, like, hey, let's order this ribeye. And you'd be like, okay, yeah, that sounds good. We got to get some greens though, too. And I'd be like, no, we don't. But we would get it. And so there was that initial resistance. And then finally over time, like, I would say what, like about a year ago?
Yeah, it was when I started working with Kaylee, the nutritionist.
Right.
Who was like, minerals, all the minerals were missing. And then she was like, bacon is excellent for you.
And kale is not.
And kale's not. I was like, wait a minute. Funny, because that lines up with what my body thinks.
Yeah.
And here I was force feeding it lots of veggies. And I think also just noticing that... Wow, when I eat certain vegetables, I feel really crappy the next morning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not to be gross, but like the way stuff came out was indicative of, you know, how my food, how my body was digesting that. And it was telling me like veggies, especially certain vegetables, me no likey.
Well, and to simplify it a little bit, like look at, I think the best... analogy you can make for human performance and the human body is automobiles. And for many reasons, there's a lot of like comparisons that you can make that actually are really, they're not just oversimplifications. They're very, very good and very reasonable. And food is the fuel that you put in your automobile, mm-hmm. right? And then I don't think anyone's going to kind of disagree here. The fuel that you put in your automobile and the fuel that you put in your body is going to help fuel the engine or detract from its ability to do so, depending on the quality. The poopy and the pee-pee is your exhaust coming out of your exhaust pipe. If fuel is literally coming out of your exhaust pipe, anyone would go, well, this doesn't seem good. My engine isn't using this fuel. It's coming out of my exhaust pipe. Well,
especially when it comes out undigested.
Right. Literally, like if you put in some gas and you drove 50 and you look and there's a trail of gas coming out of your exhaust pipe, you'd be like, Jesus, well, this gas doesn't seem to be. And I challenge, if you eat a giant salad of leafy greens, you will poo lots of lettuce. Mm-hmm. And like it will, you'll be, you're like, oh, shit, it came right through
me. Your body's literally like, nope.
Yeah.
Nope. I mean, how many people eat corn and then see full kernels of corn the next morning?
And I've never shit steak. It's never one. I've never shit a steak. Not one piece. and again, I want to point out, I am not some anti-vegetable carnivore evangelist. But what I am saying is, like, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater when you hear Paul Saladino or these carnivore guys, the, you know, Sean Baker, talk about the idea of carnivore stuff. Because with that, there's a lot of logic and a lot of reason. But people are so ingrained to believe certain things. And I'm also not anti-vegan or plant-based. What I am anti, and you don't necessarily see this coming from the opposite direction with, like, the carnivore folks, is that a lot of the science that is pushed to you, that is promoting plant-based and vegan ideas, is not only not true, it's fucking crazy how scientists can even sleep at night with some of the bullshit that you go, and I am a dipshit. I have a very rudimentary scientific.
Let's not, again, thoughts become things.
Thoughts together. But in the world of science, I am not someone who's extensively educated. I have a very rudimentary understanding of basic scientific principles. And I, beyond a shadow of a doubt, can take it to a PhD in biochem or an MD, and I'll go like, well, how on earth can that, why would they even say this? And they all 100% of the time, they'd be like, you're right. That's just ridiculous. How can they? The most crazy shit I've ever seen is how the China study has become scientific gospel. It is almost, it would be funny if it wasn't so sad how the China study has been looked at as something, when I can read the China study and go, oh my God.
Explain what the China study is.
The China study is one of the most kind of referenced and looked at nutritional studies in the last 4 or 5 decades. And there's 4 or 5 different facets to it. But overall, it tried to demonize the idea of animal products. And two of the basic fundamental premises of it was that, you know, dairy is bad and meat is bad. And here's how they based it. They took casein protein, which is a constituent of milk protein. Okay. There's milk, there's casein and whey. That is the two kind of major components of the proteins in dairy. And they took casein protein and they gave it to not people with cancer. They gave it to active cancer cells. They just gave casein protein.
Monkeys
in different various animals, and sometimes even in just isolated cancer cells and things. And the cancer cells, as all cellular bodies will do when you give it amino acids and protein, grew. And they're like, see, casein causes cancer. And you're like, well, wait a second. Protein causes cells to grow. That's what it does. Hence the reason why a high protein diet is good, because it helps all cells, not just muscle cells, but all cells in the body to be anabolic. You just gave it to cancers. If any doctor, any oncologist took a cancer having patient, the first thing you would say is like, you got to lay off the protein. Why? Not because protein's bad for you, but because protein will make cancer grow, as it will with any. That doesn't mean protein causes cancer. It's not even in the, like I said, a guy like me, who practically failed out of high school would go, whoa. Another thing they did, and then that, now that's been carried on in the mainstream as casein causes cancer and whey, the same thing. They took local Chinese citizens from very kind of underprivileged neighborhoods. These are people who are consistently not eating good diets, right? So they just separated like a handful of them and then gave them a plant-based diet within a controlled setting and compared them after a period of time with the regular people in these tribes who were eating fucking fried noodles with meat in it for, 6 months. And they're like, look at the difference. They're so much healthier.
And probably using some sort of seed oil to fry
those. Of course. I mean, these are poor people in China. What are they? They're eating fried noodles in peanut oil with really low, with whatever meat they can get their hands on.
Yeah.
And it's actually quite sad that, people live that way. And I feel deep sympathy. But I also feel deep sympathy for the people who then take that insane distorted knowledge and then go, oh, well, look, the China study says plants are better for you.
Well,
look at how much healthier they are.
And I think too, we've gotten really distanced and disconnected from just paying attention to our own bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most of us, I'm not one of these anymore, but I definitely was, like, didn't trust my own feelings, like, mm-hmm. or the way my body felt or looked, or, and now I can tell you pretty clearly, like, no, that food doesn't make me feel good. Mm-hmm. And everybody's different. And so if you're eating something and you feel really good and you have a lot of energy and, I think, unfortunately, gross but true, like, what's coming out in the toilet the next morning is a pretty big indicator. And not just if there's solid bits of or particles of food in it, but also like if it's really loose, if it's runny, if you're constipated, like those are all signs that the fuel that you're putting in is not agreeing with the dynamics of your physiology. And So I think it's really important, and it shouldn't be a scary thing or a concerning thing or a stressful thing. It should just be like, hey, my poop's telling me what I'm taking in isn't agreeing with me. Or if you're really gassy, you know, I notice that since I eat this way, I have zero gas.
Yeah.
And that's the way a healthy body operates. So I just think it's important, like, to take control of your own body and your own diet and pay attention. It's the same thing as looking at your thoughts all day long. We're so disconnected from ourselves. We don't even look at, like, how, I mean, what I do sometimes is I take a notebook, and I literally, because it's easy to forget, you get busy every day after your meal, just write down, like, gosh, an hour after this meal, I got really tired. I felt like I wanted to go take a nap. Something you ate in that doesn't agree with you.
That's our take. And by the way, this is not
medical advice.
No. Well, it's not. Clearly. It wasn't going to be medical advice, but what it was going to, this is not, because I know people get very touchy about this when it comes to parenting. This is not like, we do it right, this is how you should do it. This is not coming from a judgment standpoint. This is just our personal experience. But that is how we've had a lot of success with gearing our daughter to eat healthier, is that not by looking at it like this food bad, this food good, but by constantly making reference to the facts, like, hey, yesterday for my birthday, thank you, everyone. when
why is
because every when I said that, everyone what
said what, happy birthday. Oh, God, internally yes. Going, oh, happy birthday. Yeah. Or they're not. They were like, fuck
no, you. They're like, fuck off, Dick. We went and we had insanely delicious, yummy food that would not normally be on our. We had a lot of really like just Mexican comfort food.
And literally the best donuts that were a dessert in and of themselves. Like,
these donuts were insane.
Gordo's.
It was Gordo's in Austin, Texas. It was so good. But we also went to Güero's right there on Congress in like downtown Austin. We had just like, you know, enchiladas, tamales, you know, refried beans, like all this bullshit, right? And it was delicious and we loved it, and it was celebration, and our positive mind frame getting back to it was like, hey, we're celebrating and we want to eat this and we're going to do it. And we did it. And all three of us, my daughter included, our daughter included, we're like, you know, as we were driving home, and we're like, hey, instead of going, see, that food's bad, your lean sirloin's good, what we were like, how do you feel after eating that stuff? And of course, my daughter goes, feel like shit. She didn't say that, but you know what I'm saying. My wife and I, we recognize, we're like, hey, you know, if you notice, yeah, that stuff's great. Pizza and burritos are amazing, but you notice how different you feel when you have like some salmon avocado roll compared to when you have the double and fries. And she always is like, yeah, you know, I feel sluggish and yucky. And
but also, mm-hmm. I think another important thing is that more and more when we eat those things is to really enjoy it. Because if you're going to make a choice to do it, then at least for fuck's sake, enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because it's not worth it if you're going to eat it and shame yourself the whole time.
Before we continue the show, I wanted to talk to you about something important, and that is Noom. Noom uses the latest in behavioral science to empower people to take control of their health for good through a combination of psychology, technology, and human coaching on their platform to help millions of users meet their personal health and wellness goals. Everybody's weight loss journey is unique and it's different. I understand that. And you know who else understands that? Noom. It's personalized lessons to help you gain confidence and practical knowledge, one-on-one coaching, and a cognitive behavioral approach that teaches you how to be mindful of your habits. 75% of Noom weight users finished the program, and more than 60% of users that engaged with the program kept the weight off for a year or more. That's fantastic. So start building better habits for healthier, long-term results. Sign up for your trial at Noom.com/believe. Again, that's Noom, Noom.com/believe, BLEAV. Hey, fellas, let me tell you something. I know it's embarrassing, it's awkward, it sucks, but it's also super important to make sure that you have performance in the bedroom, performance that you are comfortable with. And if there's a problem, if you perceive there to be any chink in your armor, you got to get that taken care of. And that's where Blue Chew comes in. Blue Chew, a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable tablet, and it's at a fraction of the cost. And in my opinion, the best part, you don't have to deal with any of the embarrassing doctor visits, none of the awkward waiting in line at the pharmacy. No, no, no. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. So go to BlueChew, BlueChew.com, and you even got a little deal for you Mikey Likes You listeners. Use the promo code Mikey at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Mikey to receive your first month very much free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank you so much, Blue Chew, for sponsoring this podcast. If you know anything about me, I love nicotine. It's a great drug. It really is. And it's so misunderstood because of all the stigma surrounding nicotine. But the stigma is for the ways in which people get nicotine, not because of nicotine itself. Okay? It's the smoking, the chewing tobacco, the vaping, that's the yucky stuff. Nicotine itself is awesome, and that is where Lucy comes in. Lucy nicotine capsule pouches, which contain a breakable flavor ball inside, are pure synthetic nicotine that provides the same satisfaction that nicotine users expect, but without any tobacco at all. 4 or 8 milligrams, a good clinical dose. Come on. It's 2022. Don't compromise when you're choosing nicotine products. Go with the newest tobacco-free options from Lucy. Mikey Likes You listeners, go to lucy.co, use promo code Mikey, get 20% off your order of Lucy nicotine capsule pouches or any other of the great Lucy products that I love. The gum, the lozenges, they have a whole line of amazing products. lucy.co, use promo code Mikey at checkout. And I also have to let you know, this product contains non-tobacco nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. Lucy.co. Be sure to use the promo code Mike.
We sat down. Mm-hmm. We ordered.
It was an experience.
First of all, we ordered like 6 of these donuts, and when the guy at the counter, I was like, had ordered the first 2. He looked at me and he goes,
"You know these are big.
These are big. You know?" And I was like, "Oh yeah. I mean, we ordered enough for like 10 people, but we laid it out at the table." We
took the pictures, did the Instagram.
We really savored that. And the thing is that's as important because you're giving the message to your body that this is a celebration. This is joyful.
Yeah.
I'm not eating this to like, you know, flagellate myself. Like it's just something that's fun to do.
And we went into it with that positive mind frame. And like I said, you shouldn't do something just because it's a certain day. If you don't want to eat that, like I feel that way about Thanksgiving. I think turkey is the shittiest form of animal protein ever. Turkey sucks my ass. After like a workout ass, not even like when I fully cleaned and like shaved, you know, like when it's like a good thing. Turkey sucks. So when Thanksgiving comes, I'm not going to force myself to eat for some sake because of some arbitrary date on a calendar.
But again, this is all the conditioning. These are all the things that we've been told since we were little kids. Like you stuff yourself on Thanksgiving. And that doesn't mean that if you like doing that, continue to don't stop doing it if you really enjoy it. But maybe just shift the mind frame to go like, why do I do that? Oh, I do that because it's literally what everyone has told me since I was a child. Yeah. And this is how I've accepted this holiday to be. But then like if you're suffering for the next week, maybe it's time to change your position on it a little bit.
I had this conversation about alcohol two or three episodes ago. A gentleman asked me a question regarding, you know, how feeling like crap after drinking and during day drinking and things like this. And I said the same thing. And I'm always very wary about alcohol and drugs because I am in recovery and I don't want to be that guy. It's like, they're bad. Don't do it. What I did point out is that like normal people who don't have a problem with drugs and alcohol, they go out and they have a couple glasses of wine with dinner and they don't feel any shame. They're like, yeah, that was goddamn amazing. And I loved that wine. It was a great wine. Or, you know, I worked really hard today. I'm going to come and I'm going to have a cocktail. It's going to be fantastic. I'm going to sit home and I'm going to unbutton my tie or take off my blouse and put on some comfy clothes. And I'm going to pour that whiskey and it's going to be great. And I love it. And then they go about their evening. If you're doing something for the sake of enjoyment and it doesn't bring you any enjoyment after, there is a problem.
Well, and I think what is really interesting to observe is watch the next time you eat something really gluttonous and amazing. And what I notice is that after the first couple bites, it doesn't taste that good anymore. Like at that point, you're just kind of shoveling it in because you told yourself you were going to eat this thing. And I was so proud of us because it was a huge,
it was a big step for us because we all three do this.
And last night we all stopped. I mean, we all sampled all the donuts and then we stopped and Mike was like, should we get to go boxes to take these home? And I was like, no, because we don't need to do that.
No, it's not going to be useful.
And it's not going to be useful because then we're going to eat it because it's here. And, you know, I think we didn't feel fantastic, but we also didn't feel horrible afterwards. I mean, I think everybody stopped. And I think just the gift that we're giving our child to have that mentality about food, because in my household, you know, you were only allowed sugar on the weekends and it was kept in this cupboard above the microwave. And when my mom was like out of, you know, she'd go to run errands or whatever, we would pull the stool over and get up there and just gorge on it. And so the conditioning for my brain was anytime I can get my hands on something sweet, I have to consume as much of it as I can because I don't know when the next time will be. It may be next, you know, as a kid, the next weekend seems like freaking forever.
Well, I know didn't we all know that kid in college or in college age, if you didn't go to college, that grew up that way in high school around like drugs and partying and drinking? The kid that like, you know, was from a super religious household or something that was not even allowed to like be around partying. No. And then they go to college and they become fucking like Gigi Allen in his prime, you know, and they're just like vomiting on themselves every night.
Well, and I think some of that too is like people who weren't free to be themselves because alcohol, I know that happened for me, was like alcohol became this thing where it was like, oh, I can do anything. And there's not that little voice in my head going, stop, don't do this. This is, you know, and I paid for it the next morning because then all the guilt came. Anyway, we're getting very off track. Well, I mean, it's important.
Yes and no. I think there's a lot of factors that lead into, you know, that I don't think enough people talk about. It's not just a matter of calories in, calories out, lift amounts of sets and reps. There's so many emotional components that go into sustainable health. And I think a lot of these that we're talking about are very important components.
Yeah.
Another thing that I wanted to point out is that you, at the very beginning of this, talked about these the way that we're conditioned, whether it be things that we hear all the time that we don't even realize are affecting us, and also what our parents and our figures of mentorship or authority figures kind of ingrained in us. And I will say that one of the hugest assets and benefits, and I thank my parents for this greatly, because as you know, I was raised like a feral child. My parents didn't try to initiate anything into me. They just are like, right. Are you alive? Okay, good, fine. That was with food too. And I have a really effortless, judgment-free outlook on religion and gay people and sexuality. I don't give a shit. You know why? Because nothing was ever told. My parents never were like, this is right, this is wrong. They were kind of ignored me in a sense. And with food, the same way. It's like, we're not going to sit here and say, like, eat this, don't eat that. And so by the time I got to be an adult, I just started being like, well, what makes me feel very good? And what is this scientist saying is good? And I never was like, oh, plants good, meat bad, vice versa. I just started to develop from a very kind of fertile and open mind. So circling back, a lot of people, most people, but women in particular, are not coming from that place because every fucking Cosmo magazine or Shape magazine and every website and every Instagram trainer is telling them, hey, eat your rice cakes with hummus and your cucumber sticks and you're fucking starving all the time
yeah.
for the sake of wanting to get a body that you want.
I don't think that we really think of it as like starving, because you're just like, oh, this is what it feels like to for your body to tread.
Yeah.
You know? And what I think the biggest like mind blowing moment for me was, because we started out in the beginning when I switched over to mostly carnivore. Mm-hmm. You said like, just get in as much protein as you can a day. And I think you gave me like, try to get 200 grams mm-hmm. of protein a day. And
which is high for her. I would not say that that's something she needs to do forever, right. But I wanted to kind of set that mark to condition her to understand 200 grams of protein. That's 800 calories. Okay. She was fucking stuffed trying to get that.
I was like,
to get 800 calories, she was stuffed. Now, of course, there's fat content and everything around it that made it higher. But my point being is that you can go and have a meal. Now, I'm not even talking fast food, just a regular old cafe or an Applebee's or something. More often than not, that meal is going to be way over 800 calories. And you don't sit there and go like, oh, Jesus Christ, I'm stuffed. Even if it's a fucking salad. Because that four tablespoons, the 7 tablespoons of the dressing they put on it is like 500 calories. So I just wanted to get, and it worked for you. You started to recognize.
So, I mean, I really noticed that, you know, I was like, wow, I'm not hungry. And I would be like, I'd sit down and eat this huge, you know, salad. A big bowl of lettuce, and it would be beautiful, but like literally an hour later, I would have that empty feeling in my tummy. And now it was like, I sat down and had a steak, and I was satiated. I didn't even think about food until the next time it was time to eat. Mm-hmm. And, so, you know, I was like, whoa, this feels, my body felt so good. It felt, really like I would feel very restless before, and it felt very kind of calm and satiated. And there was just that really lovely feeling of being full. I mean, I was like, oh, this is, and you know, then on top of that, I think the aspect of actually working out. And yeah, I mean, my whole life I had been associated anybody lifting anything really heavy with these big, you know, just buff, huge human beings.
The word bulky comes out of every female person,
whether they were ever male or female. It just was like the raw, you know. And every trainer I had ever worked out with had us doing like, you know, mindless like number of reps of low weight, and circuits, and it was boring. It just felt so boring, and I didn't enjoy it, and I liked being with people. So like going to the gym and working with a trainer or working with friends was a fun opportunity to like connect. But the actual, none of it was stimulating on a mental level whatsoever in terms of the actual work itself, the working out. So Mike set me up with this girl, Janet
Leah. Yeah.
And that was another thing, is I think seeing Mike and seeing how lean Mike would get lifting insane amounts of weight, and then also starting to be introduced to a lot of the women that he follows whose bodies are gorgeous, and not something that I necessarily want to attain for myself, because I think as an actor want to be able to be versatile enough that I can, you know, if I'm so beefed up like that certain roles that doesn't work for, but I want to be at the very least in a position where very quickly I could go in either direction if I mm-hmm. wanted to. If I need to, you know, I go out for action stuff, I want to be able to have like, you know, defined lines on my arms when I'm in that audition.
Greatest on-screen physique I've ever seen, female or male.
Linda Hamilton,
Terminator 2. It's the greatest fucking achievement. You could cut her head off and just put, and you'd be like, well, that person's badass. That person fucks shit up. I do not want to. And because it wasn't. And by the way, she was like 118 pounds in that movie.
But even like that, sometimes a little too ripped for me.
No, of course. I mean, she would, look, that body, Linda Hamilton as Sarah Connor in Terminator 2 could not transition and do a romantic comedy. People would be like, what the fuck? No, why is
and
this?
And I think that the people that we do see like that, like, it is distracting because you're like, you want to, you know, as an actor, you want to embody a character, you know, as much as you can. And I think when there are elements that don't ring true for that character's life, that person wouldn't be that ripped, then it takes you out of it a little bit. So that's always my kind of approach with things. But anyway, so we started lifting and every week I was lifting more and
keeping a journal
and keeping a writing, journal yeah. and write and mostly just marking like where I, you know, keeping the sets and the reps and the weight and what I did. And I'll never forget, like, I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks in, I went to the gym and I started working out in a sports bra and just leggings. And I looked in the mirror and I was like, I cannot believe that's my body. And it was subtle. It wasn't anything that was, you know, so earth shattering that like maybe I think other people would notice.
But here's the thing. You had achieved that long, lengthy, ripped body that you were promised with fucking Pilates. And that had ball
never,
work
that had never happened,
right?
Like elements of it sometimes, but it was very elusive. And like, if you know, if I didn't, you know, stick to my cardio for the like, you know, to the letter, then that would change it. And so it was very frustrating. And this was like, I couldn't believe it because I had experienced that fear for most of my life of like, if I do this, I'm going to be She-Ra. And the other thing that was so crazy about it was like, I mean, that really that moment of like seeing myself and going like, oh my God, and loving it and just going, wow, this is my body.
Yeah.
And feeling really proud of it and noticing how like tank tops were just stuck to me and it looked so beautiful and lean. And then I just lost my train of thought. There was somewhere, some other direction that I was going in was putting on pants and like my butt was firmer and more lifted. And yet there was like huge space. Remember I came out in those pants and I was like, these were so tight on me
on
and
your now, waist, yeah.
And in my thighs and ass. Mm-hmm. And so the thigh and ass area, even though they were more shapely and curved, mm-hmm. they were smaller.
Yeah.
And that blew my mind because I was lifting big, heavy weights.
The size of your body. Listen, I'll say this forever. And I don't care. I don't care how dead this horse is I'm beating because people don't fucking listen. The size of your body is completely dictated by how many calories you eat. The condition of your body, the composition of it, there's other factors, many factors, the style of training, you know, your lifestyle things. But how big or small your belly or your muscles, doesn't matter. The size of your body is 100% dictated by how much calories is put in your mouth.
Well, and I also want to add to that. I loathe calorie counting. It's just, sure. It's not for me. I don't enjoy it. It doesn't make me happy. It makes everything a pain in the ass. So
I think it's at times incredibly useful. And I think a lot of people, especially people who are coming from a world where they've just never paid any attention to how much they're eating or what they're eating, I do think at some point you should go through that. Do I think calorie counting is something that people should do forever at all? No way. Because it's kind of unhealthy in the long run.
And I understand like for people, somebody who A, wants to lose a lot of weight and B, may not really understand portion size because we are inundated with, I mean, we go out to eat very seldomly, but especially here in Texas, like when we do, I'm so blown away by the portion sizes. It's like, that's like a food for three people.
Well, and frankly, that's America, period.
It's America, yeah.
And everyone's always like, well, Italians eat this and they look so the Japanese, they eat plenty of soy and you should, soy's not bad. I go, yeah, listen to me. Don't ever compare America. You know what? Here's another, if I will say, don't ever compare America. Okay. You want to compare another country? Mexico. For thousands of years, Mexicans have been unbelievably trim and healthy. And in the last 40 years, they have gone back and forth as number one and number two of the fattest country in the world behind good old US of A for one reason alone. Americanized food has inundated them. Fast food, Hostess, convenient food has just taken, because Mexicans for years have eaten fucking bimbo bread and bullshit food, but they were always eating that very infrequently with much different portion size.
But also, what are we? I can't remember the exact number. I'm going to get it wrong, but maybe you can double check it. It's like we make up like 4% of the world population or something in the United States.
It's a huge country.
And we are responsible for consuming 62% of the pharmaceuticals. So like, what does that tell you about our health? And
also, by the way, like 80% of the narcotics.
Right.
And, you know, and that's, and I, again, yes, kind of off topic, but at the same time, it bears mentioning. Americans do all the drugs and we fucking are crazy violent and we're crazy drug doers and we're crazy Americans are maniacs. There is a cultural component that I like to mention, because it's not like by virtue of being born in the USA, you're more violent or you're more prone to doing drugs. It's our lifestyle, our culture, our go, 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 the cowboy ethic that makes us great. That I'm a big, unashamed, proud American. I love this country. It is what makes the innovation in this country so great. The accomplishment, our ambition is amazing. But we are so fucking conditioned to be type A that it also makes us crazy for other shit too, including this gluttonous attack of eating, you know?
Well, and again, it goes back to, you know, if you're someone like me who just cannot deal with counting calories, I would say at first it might be good just to kind of understand portion size and how much, but also just what I do is I really pay attention to what my body feels like. And if we would slow the fuck down when we're eating and actually go like, oh, what is that feeling? It turns out I'm full.
Yeah.
I'm full after way less than I thought I would be. And then you stop and you can put that food in the fridge and you can eat more of it later. And I think that that's the thing is like Mike does all of the cooking here at the house, which is very wonderful.
And I'm not trying to do it to be wonder husband or anything. I enjoy it.
He loves it.
And so because of that. You know, other things fall almost exclusively on Bianca.
It's a good balance.
But I love to cook.
Because he loves to cook and he's so happy about us eating the food he cooks, this really brings him joy. A lot of times he gives us bigger portions than we need.
True.
And I've just learned to really pay attention and listen. And your body is like so awesome. It's such a gift and it's so intelligent. And I wish that we were taught from a young age how to listen to it, because it really is dependable and you really can trust it. And you know what the beauty of that is that then you don't have to go to the experts and you don't have to rely on the gurus and the, like, you can be your own best advocate. You really can, because when you align with your BFF and you just listen to the cues and everything going on, you'll be like, oh my God, it's been here all along. And I just didn't listen because I didn't understand how. And it's not really complicated. You just listen to how you feel. Does this make me, and same with people and life experiences, like where you feel lifted and free, do more of that.
And, you know, I think that's great advice. Listen to your body, especially when it comes to eating. And then we've talked about the fuel you're putting in your body.
Yeah.
You touched a little bit on the training, which I look at as how you, you know, to take your, to, if let's say you're a Honda Accord or a Toyota Camry, nothing those are great automobiles, but they're
Mike
like,
loves his car.
You're a basic car. You're just a regular sedan that, you know, grocery getter. And that's your physique. You're not, you're not fat. You're not this, you don't have serious health conditions, but you want to look in the mirror and see a Ferrari. You want to look in the mirror and see a Porsche. You're not going to do it by acting like a Prius, by just trying to burn fuel and minimize the amount of fuel you put in and playing that game over and over again. You have to revamp your engine. And that is what so many, I think a lot of men too, but a lot of women misunderstand that training, these lifting these heavy weights, these complex movements, you know, getting to the bottom of a squat and going again and again. This is what's reconditioning your metabolism to then have that lean, beautiful physique. It is not just to create bulky muscles. And was there any, even when you made that transition, you started working with Janet, and then now you're working with Paul Carter, who I got you in touch with. He's amazing and smart, you know, really this incredible mind who looks at things from a comprehensive standpoint.
Also important to note, a large,
giant
muscular guy. And that doesn't intimidate me anymore, because I know that the way that I take care of my body, I can do the same exercises as him, but my fuel is different. Yeah. So it's not a concern.
And I'm not saying this is the way you got to go, but can I say you do zero cardio?
Zero cardio.
Literally zero. Okay.
Do you see the slide?
And she's, trains, if you were to just watch her train, is training like a fucking animal in the gym, doing, you know, slow negatives and complex barbell movements.
But my typical workout is, I mean, sometimes I'm out of there in 30 minutes. Sometimes it's 45, 50 minutes, but like, this is the thing. I think the insanity to be doing the kind of workouts that I used to do and the cardio that I used to do and having better results, a better time at the gym, because it's engaging my mind, because I'm looking at it like, wow, this beautiful body, and look at how each week I can lift more and I can do this better. And my form is getting, you know, streamlined, and yet I am doing so much less in so many different ways than I was before. And I think that's the beauty of life, is simplify it. Everything, yeah. Things simple is always better. And it is more enjoyable. And now I have the energy to go out and, you know, I mean, I guess in a way, like my life, there's a lot of cardio in my life because we have a farm now and I'm walking around and doing stuff like that. But
you'd say another thing that you like to, besides heavy resistance training, is to stay active day in and day out throughout the day.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's anyone in your life as a Mikey Likes You listener who's kind of promoted that. I'm just curious. Go ahead.
Oh, you're so proud of yourself.
Hey, and I will point out though, Bianca and I do. Well, I mean, if we, without trying, we'll look down at our steps on our phone. It's like 15,000 every day for me. And you know, I get it. We are not running a hedge fund or a computer programmer, or, you know, working at budget rent a car, whatever. Most people aren't living on a farm. I get that. Okay. I understand. I'm not trying to say like, it's easy. It's easy for me, because when I'm not lifting weights or doing a podcast, I'm building a fucking chicken hen or chicken coop. So, I mean, yeah, but it does bear that you're looking at the animal of Homo sapien. Okay. The animal of Homo sapien is not meant to eat rice cakes and cucumber sticks and then get on a treadmill and a stair climber for an hour and a half.
Right. Oh, you know? or to sit on your ass. And here's the thing, like, even when I was back in Venice, I didn't have all the farmland and the farm work. So I was still getting out and walking, and like your body. And that's the beautiful thing. When you start to put proper fuel in and you start to engage it in things that challenge it and that challenge your mentality, you don't want to sit on your butt. And even for people who work in an office, you can get those desks where your computer is you're standing, and you can move while you're working. Our body doesn't
and even want if, to even stand if you still. Can, even if you work at a company where like
that's not possible. Yeah,
you can. Don't tell me you can't. In fact, your productivity will be better if you every hour, however long. I actually look. There's days where you have like a 4-hour board meeting or something. It's just not possible. But day in and day out, for you, you're lying to yourself if you say every 20 minutes to an hour you can't sit and go for a 5-10 minute walk.
Yes, you can take your calls on, you know, on your cell phone and walk around the block. You can walk wherever you are. I mean, that's something that's always available, unless maybe you work on a freaking aircraft carrier. Even then, that's probably
no, that's a terrible reference.
Why?
Because guys and gals on an aircraft carrier could walk all the fucking time.
Yeah, that's true. What would you be if you are working a dinghy?
If you're on
whatever,
a spaceship.
But
if you're flying to Mars or to the International Space Station,
they have an exercise thing in there.
A rocket? I know they do International Space Station. They have a quite extensive.
That long. But, right, go ahead. But the thing that I want to say is that along with the everything we're talking about here today, and along with the mental conditioning and the way that we've been raised since we were kids, for whatever reason, and there are lots of theories about why this is, but we have been conditioned to think more about our limitations than we do about our capabilities. That's a fact. If you look at any watch TV for any length of time, you will see commercials that go like, when you can't do this or you can't do, you know, it's all about like why this sucks or why you can't do this, or when you feel ugly and you want to spruce yourself up a little bit or whatever. It's all about the downside. And so I think when you're paying attention to the way you think on a daily basis and you start to become aware of the negativity there, anything is possible. Like you could say, I work in this type of an environment and it's not possible for me. I'm telling you, it is. Your mind will find a way if you just say, I'm going to find the solution. I'm going to figure out a way that I can do this, because there always is a way through, a way out, a way up. It's always there. And the minute that you start to change your mentality to live in the solution and not in the problem, as our therapist always used to say, life changes in such unbelievably magical ways. And it's all due to what's going on between your ears.
Now, I mean, that's amazingly true and a beautiful point. And I'm not trying to
put your gun.
No. But I want to say, look, if you're a single mom working 3 jobs, of course, looking like Bianca next month isn't real. And also, you know, becoming Elon Musk, you know, yes. Is anything possible? Of course not. And you're listening to this and you're probably
Stop. We got to stop doing this.
Let me finish. I'm not trying to poo-poo on your point.
I know, but what I am saying
is that I think far too many fitness, self-help, celebrity voices on the internet try to give these incredibly beautiful sounding ideas. And it's like, okay, that probably is very insulting to a lot of people who genuinely are just trying to fucking keep their head above water and not
drive off a cliff. I understand that. You know? But this applies even in those scenarios as well, which is that I'm tired of people being told to be realistic and to accept where you are and what your circumstances are. Because the fact of the matter is that you and I both have been in really dark, hopeless holes in our life. And so is life challenging and can life be very difficult? Absolutely. Can you be in a situation where it's really annoying to hear people talk about what's possible and living in the solution when you're at a place where you are, like you said, just trying to tread water? Yes, I understand how devastating that can be when you don't know how. But what I'm saying is there is always a way through. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that tomorrow you should be like us or anyone else that you look to and go like, wow, I'd love to live my life in that way. But what I am saying is that you can start today by changing the way you think about things. Mm. And anything is possible.
Sure.
100%.
I think that is beautiful. And I totally agree with you. All I was pointing out is that I'm not trying to say accept your life for what it is. I'm not saying that there's just the whole take life on its own terms and don't give up hope is by no means what I was trying to say. All I was trying to point out is that Bianca isn't one of those people who's trying to say to you, the guy who just lost his job at a coal mine in West Virginia, or the, like I said, the single mom with three kids and four jobs just to get by, that, hey, you could do it. I did it. It's
I understand, but I don't need those disclaimers made for me. Okay. Because the fact of the matter is that I know a single mom with four kids and she works like a dog. And she's up at 5 a.m.
She is.
Lifting weights in her garage.
That's true.
So the thing is that we have to have tough love. And if it offends you that somebody in a different position than you is saying something that you go, well, like where I'm at, that's just not possible. I think that that person needs to look inside of themselves. And because you're telling yourself it's not possible. I'm not saying anything that should be offensive or should in any way trigger something within you. If it does, that's a look inside, because you will 1000% of the time be able to find someone who is, if not in your same position, worse, in a worse situation, who is doing these things and more. It's all about mental attitude. It's all about can do. Yes, I get that. That is a very hard and challenging leap to make when it's not the way that you've thought about your life from the get-go. But I'm telling you, who we came into this world to be is not the person you are now. And when you look at people, those of you who have kids, look at your children. Look at how there is no fear. Look at how they have no questions about who they are, at least in the very beginning. We screw them up ourselves with our own fears and our own judgments. We do that to them.
Yeah.
And it was done to us. But I'm telling you that you have to accept. Well, you don't have to accept anything. You can do however you want. But if you want to change, you do have to accept tough love. You do have to understand that there can be no more excuses. And we could all find excuses to make, every single one of us. And it's all relative, because the people that you look at that you think like, wow, that person really has it all, they don't. They're beating themselves up inside just as much as you are. So the surroundings may look different. The bank account may look different, but inside, it's all the same. Absolutely.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
And yeah, you changed my mind a little bit.
I did?
Yeah. Yeah. That makes me feel because good. I guess through marrying you and getting to know you, I have gotten to something that I, outside of professional life, never really had, where I got to see people of extreme wealth and fame behind, and a lot of times I'm like, oh yeah, I don't want to be that guy. No. That's all fucked up. Not all the time. I've seen some people where I was like, oh, that guy's got it figured out. But either way, in closing, because we're gone twice as long as I promised you would go. I want you to promote your website.
Oh, because that's nice
it's
of you.
Beautiful. Yes.
I started a website. It's still kind of figuring out what it is going to be, but it's called All Welcome Here. It's allwelcomehere.com, and it's a collection of my thoughts and writings. But my hope is for it to eventually evolve into a place where everyone can share their thoughts and feelings. But I just wanted to have a place where we could support each other and be authentically who we are. And, you know, I think that this is an important step to really, aligning with everything, all your true potential, is that to really, to be able to express yourself. And, I think that there is a lot of stuff going on in the world that makes it very easy to feel like everything's falling apart. And the fact of the matter is that no matter where you are, there is still a breathtaking sky above you and a green, gorgeous earth below you. And that really, at the end of the day, is all that matters, is the beauty around us, because we're only here for a short while.
Boom, bitch. In your face. So thank you, everyone. Allwelcomehere.com.
Allwelcomehere.com, yeah.
And at Mikey Likes You, at Mikey, or excuse me, at Mike Catherwood, at Mikey Likes You 1, the number 1 on my socials. She is at Miss Kailich, M-I-S-S, K-A-J-L-I-C-H, because that's a fucking tongue twister. And then also, if you're interested in more detailed and focused help, my Patreon offers all different levels of said help. And I am Mike Catherwood on Patreon. And also, head on over to the YouTube channel if you haven't already, because there is a lot more that goes along with this podcast, a lot of like exercise demos. There's a lot of videos of my cousin Rudy making fun of me. There's good stuff there.
And train with him if you can. He's so amazing, and he's on the phone and on the computer all the time corresponding with his top-tier Patreon clients, and I'm so proud of him, and that if you've seen any of the transformations, they're pretty incredible. So if you feel like it's really difficult and you don't really know where to begin, he's so good at it.
Thanks, honey.
Love you.
Love you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.